Good morning, everyone. Can you hear me okay? Just want to make sure I can have my thing. Yeah? Good? Wonderful. Good
Yes.
morning, good afternoon, good evening, good day to you wherever you are today. Thank you so much for joining us today in this very beautiful, well, this so far in Chicago. It's nice and sunny. Pig, how about you? How is it in your area today?
Same as a sunny California. How about you, Asha, too? Asha.
You're on mute.
That's okay.
I think Asha. It's okay. Yeah, Asha,
Give
I
her some
think.
time. Oh, she's
I think
on.
she can.
Sorry about that.
No
Can you hear me?
worries.
Good morning,
Yeah.
everyone. Sorry about that. It's
Okay.
great. It's a great morning here in Northern California in Palo Alto. It's a little nippy, but I'm sure the sun will be out soon.
Wonderful.
Cool.
I'm so jealous of everybody living in California. Always have a sunny weather.
Yes.
Where it's like, oh, I want that too. But hey, that's
Yeah, but
really
our
cool.
skies are on fire, so it's a little different. Yes,
Yeah,
that's
about
true.
that.
See, it's really hot here too. I just have a fire very close to my home, like 10 miles away from me, just
Oh wow.
yesterday. Yes, so that's good and bad, you know.
Yeah, I hope everybody's are keeping themselves safe and their family as well. Today, we'll be talking with Asha, right? Driving Femtech brand success using brand purpose. I know Pig really loves, like, okay, we're talking about brand purpose. This is all her thing as a brand strategist. And for me too, I love all things about branding, and brand purpose, I think, has a very important, the role to play in building a brand. So we're going to talk more about that with Aisha. But first, I want to introduce myself, and also I'll let Pick introduce herself and then introduce our speaker so that we can get started into our discussion today. If you don't know me, my name is Arik Shashak. I am the co-founder and chief creative officer at Cyclovia. You know how most D2C femtech brand don't maximize their website for the most conversion? Well, I've seen that in a couple of different, brands from the client that we work with. So my team and I at Cyclovia, we help them transform their website into a platform that unlock business opportunities. So that's me. Pick, why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself and then introduce our guest.
Yes, hello everyone. My name is Pick. My full name is Kongpik Liu, but everybody calls me Pick. I'm the founder of Design Angel, aka the Chief Design Angel. We help femtech companies to build brands that get taken seriously. Why? Because women deserve to be seen, heard, and shine. And we have our speaker today, Aishatu Fatima Dosse. I hope I say it correctly. She is the founder and CEO of Bossy Cosmetics. Bossy Cosmetics ignites confidence in ambitious women through high-quality cosmetics, topical content, and center experiences. She is also described herself as a lipstick junkie and never imagined that she would start a global beauty brand when she started her career in finance over 20 years ago. Yeah. I will have to ask you about that. Besides Bossy Cosmetics, she has also found a children's play and activity center called Paolo's Place and a media project which showcased successful African women called African Her Story. Wow. Aisha, you have done a lot.
I've been pretty busy.
And I'm sure you're still very busy, right? So to get started, okay, since you're a lipstick junkie, are you wearing lipstick today? Since we can't see you.
So, good morning again, everyone. Thank you so much, Pick and Ari, for having me here. It's always a
Oh.
delight to speak with people about my career, about Bossy Cosmetics very specifically. And I am not currently wearing lipstick at this point in time. It's 8:04, and my kids just rushed out of I have three sons. They just left the house to go to school. So lipstick is not on now, but it will be soon.
Will be soon. So, what's your favorite lipstick color?
Oh, that's it. Okay. I love all colors for different reasons, different moods, different seasons, but definitely red is a go-to color for me. Makes me feel really powerful, makes me project a sense of confidence, whether I feel it or not. So I feel like red is my crutch, but I'll love a nice pink, purple. I mean, I flirt around with every color under the rainbow, but red is kind of my go-to when I want to project power.
That's why you're a lipstick junkie, right?
That's right.
Ari also have lipstick on. What color do you have today?
Mine is Nora. I like that, I think, label for the name. Instead of like hot power red, because I know you probably can see that on some other brand, right? But it's more like, I guess the naming itself, it makes me feel like something calm, but yet also powerful. So it's kind of red-ish.
Nice, nice.
And for me, I actually don't wear lipstick. I have no lipstick today.
But you don't wear makeup at all, or just lipstick?
I don't wear makeup, actually.
I love it. I love it. So we've got to.
But I might change. Yes, you might convert me. Actually, after reading about you, I actually would love to try it. So let's dive into this. Like, I know. But first thing I want to also tell you, my daughter's name is Aisha. So definitely feel very close to you.
Fantastic.
Yep. And so I just want to, can't you tell us a little bit about your background? Where are you coming from? You said you're in finance for 20 years. So
sure.
Tell us a little bit about yourself.
I'll try to make it quick. So I'm originally from Nigeria. I'm a first-generation American born to Nigerian parents some 40-some-odd years ago. I was born in Cambridge, Massachusetts, grew up there for the first 10 years of my life, and then moved to Nigeria to go to middle school and high school, and then came back to the U.S. And I've kind of lived and worked all over the world since university. I've lived again in the U.S. I've, you know, lived and worked in London and in Asia, Central and South America, and of course, Sub-Saharan Africa. You know, my first job out of undergrad, I worked at Goldman Sachs in New York City. You know, I was always an intern in finance. I really loved finance because, you know, it focused on numbers. I was pretty numerate. But more importantly, that's where the money was. And I was a broke college student. So it just made all the sense in the world to go work where the money was. My goal was always to kind of work in finance for a couple of years and do something creative. I always knew I had this creative bug inside me. I always thought I'd be an entrepreneur earlier, but just was too broke and didn't have the courage. And then 1 year turned into 3 years. I went to business school and, you know, 5 years, 10 years, 15 years went by. And, you know, you kind of get these golden handcuffs where you're no longer broke or you're making more money, you get more seniority, and you just, you know, you kind of push all of those creative pursuits away. And so, as you said, when you were introducing me, throughout my career, I kind of dotted lots of little entrepreneurial pursuits along the way. Some were side hustles alongside my investment banking job. And one of them was a full-time business that I ran. So I've done a lot of different things, but predominantly, as you said, I've been a finance executive for most of my career. And then 4 years ago, I quit. I quit for personal, mental, professional reasons and took a year off, did a program at Stanford to kind of reflect and came up with this insight that I wanted to test, which has now become this business, Bossy Cosmetics, that I'd love to discuss with you today.
Wonderful. So you took a year off to study.
Yeah. So, I mean, I knew I wanted to quit my job, right? I was super stressed, under a lot of pressure, and quite frankly, ill. So I knew I wanted to quit, but I had no idea what I wanted to do. And, you know, if you look at my resume, I've worked for almost every investment bank on the planet. And so I just felt like insanity was, you know, doing the same thing over and over, expecting different results. So I didn't want to go find another finance job. I wanted to kind of take some time off to reflect, but I also felt, you know, in some way quite indulgent and guilty to just quit and lay about for a long period of time with no agenda. And so for me, going to school kind of made me feel like, okay, I'm legitimately using my time in a very structured fashion. So I applied for this fellowship at Stanford called the Distinguished Careers Institute Fellowship. And then I, you know, my whole family, we moved to Palo Alto. That's how we came out here. And
wow,
I did 1 year
school
at Stanford. Yeah.
Wow. Continue.
So yeah, I moved to Palo Alto, did 1 year at Stanford in the fellowship, and I spent the majority of my time here at the design school, just really unlearning a lot of frameworks, relearning, and then learning new things, opening up my mind and just freeing myself. So it was a very restorative year, even though it was very busy. Of course, as I said, I'm a mother to three kids and a full-time student at the time, but it was really an amazing 1 year. And at the end of the year, you know, my last class I took was a class called Transformative Design. And it's really just turning the design thinking philosophy on yourself and on your life. And I wanted to try pursuing something that was really at the intersection of my passion and my purpose, like something that I felt I was uniquely designed to create and birth and sort of incubate and accelerate. And that's how Bossy Cosmetics came. I mean, it really is, you know, when you said earlier, igniting confidence, you know, our focus is a woman who self-identifies as ambitious. That's it. She defies age. She defies rage, you know, race, ethnicity. She just wants to do better than who she was yesterday, right? Irrespective of what level of her socioeconomic level. And so I really wanted to tap into that woman because that is who I am and have always been. And I've always used beauty as kind of my thing that gets me going. So you need to start with the basis. You need the foundation. You need the technical know-how. You need to be prepared. You know, so I'm not saying that, you know, showing up to a business meeting beautiful is what gets you through the door. No, I mean, all the other stuff is important, but beauty plays a very critical role, whether it's even just a light lip balm or eyeliner, mascara, whatever it is, or no makeup at all, right? But how you present yourself really gives you the confidence to show up at your fullest self, most prepared when you're trying to level up. And so I wanted to sit at that intersection and see if I could do something different in what is, you know, a very saturated market.
Yeah, exactly. Talking about saturated, right? In cosmetics, lipsticks, the barrier of entry is really low. And you actually mentioned that the barrier of entries are low, but the ability to success is incredibly tough, right? Yep. And how did you combat that? What did you do?
Yeah. So, I mean, just the combination of that is like I would ask someone who told me this a couple of years ago, are you insane? Why would you do this? And it's a very qualified question. And, you know, maybe the answer is, yes, I am insane. I think the answer is that, you know, I really do believe in this insight that the beauty industry right now does not address women like ourselves in a very unique way. I think when you look at particularly cosmetics companies, it's incredibly superficial. It's incredibly product driven. It's incredibly how you look and pushing imagery that's quite frankly not only unsustainable but unrealistic for the average woman. And so I felt that I could bring something very different and differentiated to, you know, a $750 billion industry that is only growing and is global. And so I think, you know, it's kind of this David and Goliath view of just, and this is why I say, you know, maybe there is some portion of it that's insanity, thinking, you know what, I have a very unique view and I'm going to tilt the arc of the industry to see, you know, if other people agree with me. And so, you know, it's insane, but I've been doing it.
Ari, do you have any question? Looks like...
Yes. You know what? I want to really ask you about this because I noticed on your website, right, for Bossy Lipstick, your lipstick color, the way you're labeling and naming each one, not like any other brand. It's not like the, you know, it's Poppy or Rose or Blush. You name them in nouns like bravery, hustle, courage, ambitious, and confident. And there's a lot more, obviously. But I'm really curious for you, what really triggered that decision?
So I think it's this notion around the topic of what we're discussing, right? Brand purpose. And one of my favorite words I've come up with of late is cohesion. I think, you know, and I was saying to somebody yesterday that you know, when I first thought about this as an idea, and today I'm on version 1,552 or something like that, right? But you just keep learning and learning and learning from the market, from the customers, from yourself, right? And this, you know, entrepreneurship is literally a classroom. You keep learning and learning and learning. And when I talk about brand cohesion, what that means is that you should feel our North Star throughout everything. If you interact on our website, if you receive an email or a text message, or you go on social media, everything about the brand should be cohesive, such that if you are somebody who has either shopped us or has engaged with us socially, you should be able to tell me what I want to hear, right? What I want you to know. And so it's this very subliminal psychological messaging. And so our naming convention is exactly that, right? This notion of cohesion across everything. The name of the company, Bossy, right? It kind of tilts your head back because we've been told that Bossy is negative, particularly as it pertains to women. So it almost piques your interest. And then you start seeing names that are really evocative. Courage, bravery, wisdom, hustle. And these are words that are exciting, right? Which is why we say, when we describe ourselves, igniting confidence. I use that term igniting because you think about spark of a fire, right? Ignition. And so every single thing we do, like I constantly say in the team, words matter. Design matters. Colors matter. Everything about us is meant to be cohesive around this purpose of igniting confidence in women who self-identify as ambitious.
I love that. And I think you already touched on this, the brand purpose, even just a little bit. I'm really curious for you and Bossy, what is your brand purpose?
So it's interesting. I think my purpose personally, right, is to do good. And what does that mean? It could be anything. And I try to take it at a very granular level. I'll give a perfect example. I have a post-it on my window that says, "Don't give up before the miracle happens." And for some reason yesterday, I just posted it on Instagram. And a couple of people DM'd me and said, "Oh my God, this post was for me." And for me, my work of the day was done. So my purpose is, if I touch one woman who begins to feel better about herself, then that's the work that I, Aisha, has done. Obviously, that's the same goal that I have for Bossy Cosmetics. If we touch one woman, two women, three women, 10, 500, 5,000, millions, right? Our work is done. And this woman who DM'd me, you know, she's a gastroenterologist in Ohio. I've never met her, but she's a customer. She follows us. And she told me, "You touched me with this message. I needed to hear it right now. Medicine is super challenging given what's going on with COVID-19. So when I think about brand purpose, it is about exactly that woman who self-identifies as ambitious, making her feel better, making her feel seen, making her feel understood, making her feel welcome in her vulnerability as well as in her success. Right? That is what the brand purpose is about. And if you even think about it, from the very beginning, we identified three nonprofit organizations that we partnered with. And I think I've done IG Lives with two of the CEOs, where every year, a small percentage of our sales, we donate to them. We do various sales campaigns where we'll do 50% off of a particular product. The discount goes to these nonprofit agencies. And these are three nonprofit companies that do advocacy work for victims of sex trafficking, domestic violence, you know, sexual violence. Amazing organizations run by amazing women, right? And that is very cohesive, once again, with the brand purpose of elevating, amplifying, inspiring, and igniting confidence in women. So everything that we do, literally, like if you buy our lipstick or our eyeliners, the packaging has affirmations on it. Be bold, be you, you're awesome, you're beautiful, you're ambitious. Beauty meets wisdom, beauty meets ambition. We are repetitive with this purpose about wanting you to feel amazing. So when we get reviews like, "I showed up to a customer pitch the other day and I wore confident and I was just amazing," We are doing our work one woman at a time.
That gives me chill, to be honest, but I'm super excited that you share with us this brand purpose, because to me, when I went to your website, it feels that it already reflected it. And I think you and your team have done an amazing job.
Yes.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. I mean, honestly.
I mean, our website is probably version 8052. Oh,
which is what a startup should be, right?
Yes. And if it's okay with you, Aisha, I would love to read the bossy promise that is on your website right now. Is that okay?
Of course. Go ahead.
Okay. So for everyone who's listening right now, here's the bossy promise that they put on their website, bossybeauty.com. In my opinion, it really do align with what Aisha just shared with us around their brand purpose. So here we go. Today's beauty companies don't care about you beyond your looks. You have desires, goals, and challenges that affect why you use beauty products. Shop Bossy, and we will infuse your life with positive affirmations, uplifting content, and value-added service that will ignite an overdose of confidence.
That's us. That's us.
It's just amazing. Okay. Sorry, Vic, just one last question, and I'm going to hand it to you. It's just so exciting to hear all this from Aisha. So Aisha, you share earlier in terms of like the feedback that you've gotten from the customers, right, around the lipstick that they wore to this pitch, or like basically igniting confidence in them. Has there been any negative feedback that you have gotten from the customer?
Oh, of course. That would be impossible. I mean, yes, we have. Let me see. So I think earlier on, you know, we had a couple of... So customers, I think, are different from naysayers. Let's be clear. When, you know, I define customer, who we call our boss, as somebody who used their own money to buy the product. Largely, they have been hugely supportive of the business. You know, our average star rating, I think, is 4.86, so 4.9. So our products are very positively reviewed. So when you say, have customers given us negative feedback, I would say, you know, it's been very light, like, this red was too blue or something like that, very superficial. So I think I want to say from our customer standpoint, the feedback has been hugely, hugely positive. Where we've had negative feedback, I think, are from people who are not customers, right? People who are just naysayers. And so it started actually from the very beginning, before I even launched the business. You know, I would talk to people about the idea because I thought I would want to raise money. And everybody told me it was a shitty idea, excuse my French, especially investors. They were like, this doesn't make any sense. It's not differentiated. It's not special. You know, there's no way you can break into this. I mean, everything negative you can think. I've had investors tell me, you know, is this for only Black women? I'm like, no, I'm Black, but, you know, I'm speaking to all women. And a lot of investors were like, we don't think a Black woman can really galvanize, you know, confidence across women who are not Black, especially women who are not women of color. I mean, everything negative you can think of, I have heard from people who are not paying customers. But our paying customers have been unbelievable, unbelievably supportive. I mean, we actually work with our paying customers, right? So we will, especially our followers, like if you check our Instagram, I post a lot of our product prototype and ask for customers to vote on which packaging to use. You know, I ask customers, what do you think, what product should we come out with next? So we have a very engaged follower community, customers, you know, people who sign up to our emails who are very into what we do and that we co-create together. So and they will say to me, you know, when I say, oh, what about this packaging? Oh my God, that's ugly. Don't do that. But when that, I take that as positive feedback. If my customer feels comfortable telling me that a color I want to work on is ugly, I love it because it's going to save me time, money, and effort to go produce something that nobody wants. So I'd say that, you know, a lot of the criticism that I've gotten is from cynics as well. I mean, I heard one criticism once on a podcast I was on that, you know, it's really anti-feminist to to encourage women to wear lipstick in this day and age because we're, you know, trying to attract men, which I was like, are you kidding me? You think all the years I've been wearing lipstick is because I wanted to get a man? That's insane. So I've heard a lot of crazy stuff. I've heard a lot of interesting stuff. And I've heard a lot of stuff that's made me think and learn and grow.
Wow. I would just say wow to some of the people who feel like we're putting all of these like art in our face for them. Wake up. It's not for you. It's for our.
I know. It's not about you. Are you kidding me? It's about me.
Exactly. Pick, go ahead.
No, it is so true. And I have, I've been people talking about that, like when you go to have something important, especially in business, maybe go to a meeting, that people will put on something special to make them feel like they have that superpower, they can do it. And yeah. I can definitely see that putting on a makeup or a nice lipstick is that something that gives you that confidence.
Yeah, absolutely.
I know. And totally. Especially, I think, for a more mature audience, I feel like, yeah, wearing makeup, dressing nice, it's not for others. It's really for how we feel and feel confident. And so we have that that outlook that we want to project to the world, right? Yeah. So I love it. And this is exactly how you're consistent in the website that the first time I visited and it is research. And now you're talking about it's consistent. And that is why when people who believe in it and they really support you, I can totally see it. And I can also, that is like a good example of how a good brand purpose, you know, really works for your company, you know?
Yeah. I think business is, you know, the who, the what, and the why. And I think it was Simon Sinek that did that TED Talk or whatever it was.
Yes.
On the why. I mean, that was transformative for me watching that. Mm-hmm. And I try to, it permeates everything I do. When I look at this brand cohesion, as I mentioned, I try to always make sure the why is showing up, right? Because what I'm essentially saying when you read the brand promise is I'm saying that beauty companies only do the what and the where, right? Which is buy lipstick at Sephora. And of course, I need to do that, right? Because I can't only be about the why, but I want the who and the what to show up, but I want you to understand why I'm doing this. And it's not about me. It's actually about you. And so I want to focus more on an emotion because I feel like you develop a relationship with your customers. You develop customer loyalty. It might take a longer amount of time, but then that emotional connection between a brand and the consumer, once it's deep, unless you betray them, that's a lifetime relationship.
Definitely. You have such a good sense of how to build a brand, you know.
I mean, I'm learning as I go along. Remember, I mean, I literally am learning as I go along. So, and that's why I was advising an entrepreneur yesterday. You know, she's been doing all this analysis. And I said, listen, you need to get out of your head, get out from behind your laptop and start doing. The market will teach you. You will either fail or you won't, right? And when you fail, you move to the next thing. But sitting behind your desk is not where you learn.
But it took a lot of courage, I think, for you. You hear all those naysayers, right? And also, even I see that, like, man, when you first started, like, cosmetics, it's just such a crowded market, you know? And so how did you, like, whip up this courage and so believe in it to start this? What really makes you?
I think a lot of it is the earlier part I said around insanity, right? I mean, there's a portion of this that sometimes even I am like, girl, you could have done a lot of easier things. But it always comes back to this, I have some kind of a belief that I am doing something that, you know, if you could find, you know, person, product, fit, I am it. right? So I don't have millions of dollars to buy Facebook ads or hire PR agencies or blah, 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 right? Mm-hmm. But when I talk about, you know, this intersection of passion and purpose, I don't believe that there's anybody who can talk about what I'm trying to talk about and is literally uniquely qualified to do it as I am. And I just feel like it's okay that I don't have the millions because I'm in the learning phase, right? And honestly, we've been able to punch above our weight quite extraordinarily with very little resources. And so just imagine what we would do when we get the resources. So, you know, there is this notion of believe in yourself, right? And you have to remember even my own personal journey, right? You know, I was raised in Cambridge, Massachusetts. My parents divorced before I was 2 years old. I was raised by a single mother. We lived in the projects, so I was not raised with privilege at all. And so I kind of feel like just get in the arena. You've got to be in it to win it, you know, just go for it. I didn't think that I would find myself, you know, working at Goldman Sachs or being in some of the rooms that I was in and having the access that I got to as a little Black girl living in the projects in Cambridge. So, you know, I think even my own journey has taught me that, yeah, I mean, you call it courage, you know, I call it madness, but, you know, madness has served me very well in 40 some odd years. And yes, you will fall down, right? Don't get me wrong. In the 3 years I've been doing this, I have fallen down so many times. I've cried so many times. You know, I have thought to myself, oh my God, it would be so much easier to just go back to Goldman and Morgan Stanley. Yes. But then, you know, you kind of wipe your tears away and you keep going. And so, you know, it's this belief in yourself. That's all I can bring it down to.
And I can hear it. And I can see it actually from your brand. So this is amazing. And so talking about, like you said, you actually did approach investor. What was the result? So at the end, did you get any people who believe in you, invest in you?
So VCs, no, not one.
Not one.
I did a friends and family round of $500,000, and that's all we have raised.
And until today, how many years in business? 2 years? 3 years?
2 years. So 2.5. We launched March of 2019. So I think, yeah, 2.5 this next month.
Wow. And are you having plans to raise funding?
I mean, I would love to raise funding. But, you know, here's the thing about also being a solo founder and bootstrapping. Mm-hmm. You know, it's so busy. So I had thought about fundraising and I probably will. But I have had, you know, this year has been phenomenal for us. Our goal is to 10x sales this year. We've been, from an operational standpoint, we've just been leveling up. And so even the capacity to go out there and fundraise with investors is very limited. And so I want to get to the end of this year, take a look at what our sales are like, what we've done, you know, and see. The other thing about it is how much do I really want, right? Because if we're doing really well on sales and, you know, we're getting into some really exciting retail distribution agreements, we might be able to fund our own growth. So, you know, you go from, you know, going to investors and begging to, well, let's see, you know, we can kind of walk a tight rope, but then maybe I can get my valuation even higher, you know, and sell and be less dilutive to myself, right? So it's a tricky game you play, and it can be very exhausting on a very small team, but ultimately it will pay us in reward where I own the lion's share of this company and I've created the value myself.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, interesting. Talking about going to distributor, I saw that your product was on QVC this Tuesday.
Yes. So we didn't actually launch on QVC on Tuesday. We'll be airing again soon, but we are launching on QVC very soon. Yeah.
Wow. Okay. So you don't know the result yet, but that's exciting. Yes. Congrats on that.
Thank you. So this year has been about those types of things, right? We've gone from, we're still clearly a D2C brand. You know, last year, I would say 95% of our sales came from our website and Amazon. You know, this year, it's maybe it's going to be less than 50% at the rate we're going, right? You know, QVC, we did this really amazing deal with The View on ABC in February. I mean, we doubled sales in 2 days from that deal. So we've had, and you know, we're launching, I guess, I don't know if I can say it, so I won't say it, but we're launching in a retailer, our first mass retailer this year. So we've had some really interesting things going on, which has just put me in like pure operational mode, right? Supply chain has been literally like, I took a class in technology and operations management in business school and I didn't pay a lot of attention. I wish I could go back because supply chain and logistics will break you. And I have had to get knee deep into that. And we have a global supply chain. So it's been truly, truly exhausting, but unbelievably educational.
Amazing. Keep it up. And yes, talking about logistics, those are, it's very tough. So I hope you'll find people and you'll tackle that. And so now we actually have 8:30, so my time is almost halfway. So I guess we should reset the room. For listener who just came in, today we're talking to Aisha to Fatima Dose. She is the CEO and co-founder of Bossy Cosmetics. She's talking about how she built her company and how she used brand purpose to really build her successful brand without actually VC funding. So we just talk about she's growing this year. Last year, she was 90% direct to consumer. This year, she explored, and now it's only it will be less than 50% because she was able to find a distributor. And it's amazing to hear her story and her brand purpose, really. She truly believes in what she does. And I can see it and feel it. And talking about that, I know there is a very interesting initiative in your website called Meets Ambition Initiative. Can you tell a beauty Meets Ambition Initiative? Sorry. Can you tell us a little bit about that? Aja? I think she may be, are you muted? You're talking, we forgot about.
Sorry, I was here talking and I was muted. Sorry. sorry about that. Yeah, I think you're referring to our Beauty Meets Wisdom initiative. And that's, it's really been beautiful, to be honest. I think we started it last year and it was born out of misery, I would say, where, you know, we started to feel the supply chain squeeze. And then because our supply chain starts in China, and we basically were supposed to take delivery of goods in March, which didn't show up till December. So we had a product squeeze in 2020. And in the beginning, when it started, I thought, okay, well, if your business model is selling products, you don't have products, what else can you do? And I started to talk to the customers and say, listen, like, you know, what I came up with this idea with our customers of, you know, rewarding our customers who spend over $50 in sales on giving them a free hour of coaching services. So I partnered with another woman-owned business that I did an accelerator with through the NASDAQ Entrepreneurial Center. And she works with a bunch of coaches. And we paired up our customers in areas that are of most pressing need to them to provide them with a free hour of coaching. And so that's what we do. And it's really been amazing. You know, our customers, those who have used it, have given the program such really great reviews. And it's really just a benefit, right? And it's around saying, we see you, we understand you. And even though we don't have supply challenges right now, supply chain challenges, we've kept the program in place because it means so much to us and to our customer.
Ari, looks like you have something to say. I really love this initiative. And it's interesting to see that it came out from a problem that you have, because it is really on brand.
Yeah, it was born out of misery.
But it's very positive, you know. Ari, looks like you want to say something. Ah, Come on. Ah.
Thank you, Pig. Before I ask my question, I would love to see if anybody in the audience wanted to raise their hand and join us into the conversation. If you have any questions or things that really resonate with you from what Aisha already shared today, feel free to raise your hand and we'll bring you up to the stage and we can discuss that. Now, while we wait for that, Aisha, I know you mentioned that 90%, right, your sales came from the website and Amazon. But now you're really trying to amp up that sales strategy through different places like retail and even like launching with different platforms and stuff. So in terms of like comparing that efforts and the sales that come with it versus direct to consumer, which one actually is more successful for your brand?
Oh, it really depends on how you define success, right? I mean, and this is the thing, if you have venture capital investors, success is just sales, sales, sales. One of the benefits of not having venture capital investors is that you can really take a really comprehensive view of what success is and what it means for your business in the short term, in the medium term, and in the long term. And so, you know, I juggle a bunch of balls when I think about success. And so I would say our direct-to-consumer business, for me, is the richest part of our business, okay? Because it allows me to have very direct contact with my customer. I know her name. I know the city she lives in, right? Because I have her mailing address. I know her email. I know her shopping patterns. I know so much about her. You know, I can send her emails. I can send her text messages. I can really interact with her, even as in I, myself, Aisha, so not the team. I can randomly email a customer and say, hey, I saw you bought blah, blah, blah on this day. You know, how is it working for you? Any feedback you want to give me? I have such a beautiful direct connection with my customer when she shops on my site versus even Amazon, right? Amazon does not share that customer data with you. I think I can figure out the state that they're in, but very little else, right? So for me, that's almost a commoditized channel where I want to meet my customer where she is. So if she's shopping on Prime and she gets free shipping, if she wants to shop her cosmetics that way, I'm happy to be available to her in that channel. But quite frankly, I would prefer that she came to my website. Now, on the other side, when you think about the B2B wholesale business, obviously, I'm not going to turn my nose up at that either. Because, you know, like we right now are in indie beauty stores. So small stores, they're actually all owned by women who have very deep and strong relationships in their local communities, right? And they also have following and they have a lot of customer engagement. And so when they talk to their customers about your brand, you know, that's an amplification that you won't get on your own. Like you're doing your own work, but then you start to multiply when people who have similar relationships do the same for you. So that then starts to bring value. And then you get into, I mean, we're not in a massive big box retailer yet. So I can't answer the question, but what I can tell you is, you know, when you get that kind of a big purchase order, you're like, oh my God, do you know how long it would take me to sell this on my website? So, you know, that's the other part of measuring success, yeah. Of like, whoa, right? So there's this, the balancing of so many things, the quality of the relationship. You don't want to grow. Like I said, because I don't have VC money, I don't have to worry about growing too fast. You want to grow in a very comprehensive way. But then also you want to grow your sales. So it's a balancing act.
Wonderful. I do have a follow-up question to that. And after this question, I'm going to pass the mic to Jane because I think she joined us on the stage and probably have some questions. So my follow-up question for you, Aisha, you know, there are different places that your user or potential, you know, loyal customers coming from. There's the Amazon, there's also like different platforms that you're partnering up with, and maybe in the future, even like in big retailers, right? Is there a way for you right now, or is there a system in place to really help all of these people who is not coming to your website just yet and then bring them together into one place so that you can potentially in the future connect with them personally as well?
You know, it's an interesting question. I've toyed a lot with like, do we create like a community, like use Mighty Networks or something like that? And I've thought about it a lot, maybe not enough in this last couple 6 months because I've been so busy. And the answer is it's something I think about, haven't quite implemented. One, because we're just crazy busy growing and putting the foundation in place. And two, because I haven't quite figured out if it's necessary. And that's the thing, is that when you run a really lean team and you have very limited resources, you know, the weight of every decision is really critical. Like for me as the CEO driving the growth of this company, just even this hour talking to you is an hour that I'm not doing something else, right? So the opportunity cost of every decision is massive. And so, you know, creating a space to bring everyone together has been top of mind. It's been something I've thought about for a very long time, but just haven't had the capacity, to be honest, to put together, because I'm just trying to keep the business afloat and trying to get it growing. And I feel like it's something that we've managed so far with social media and our email list, but it's definitely something that we need to dig into.
Wonderful. Thank you for sharing that, Aisha. All right, Jane, welcome to the stage. What's your question?
Hi, ladies. This has been a really, really interesting lesson. I have a general question about how to encourage other female entrepreneurs to like invest in themselves, because I've been on this journey for a year now of like building my business, and there's a lot of friends and like new acquaintances that I've made. And sometimes I feel like women have like a hesitancy to start something that men sometimes don't have, or maybe it's a stereotype. It's something that I've experienced with my friends, and I just want to encourage them and help them to invest in themselves. And I don't know always like what to say. I don't know. Yeah. So that's my question. But thank you so much for all your insights. It's been very interesting to listen to it.
Thank you, Jane, for that question. First of all, and secondly, you know, welcome to the entrepreneurial journey. I hope it's going well for you. You know, I always say there's like high highs and low lows. It's such a volatile journey. So learning how to keep yourself centered and not get too high and not go too low is actually an art form. With respect to encouraging women to start businesses, I think I'm the wrong person to talk to about that. I feel like it's entrepreneurship is so risky. Being a startup founder is so hard, right? For all the things I've talked about, the lack of capital, you know, how badly it can go, you know, how crazy you need to be to keep going. What I never convince someone to decide to be an entrepreneur. I only work with people who've already decided to become entrepreneurs, because then I know, okay, you've already taken the big jump. Now let's work together on making sure your confidence levels are enough to keep you through this volatility. But I just don't feel, you know, I feel like entrepreneurship is such a personal journey that you need to decide it for yourself. You need to, I don't want to put someone in a position to convince them to do something that they're not sold on, especially because it's so hard. It's the exact reason why I don't meet women on the street who tell me they don't have kids, and I don't convince them to have kids. Like, that's super personal. Now, once you are pregnant, you know, I'm happy to talk to you about all the drama of raising kids, but I'm just not in the position to convince people to do things that are deeply personal.
That's perfect. I love the pregnancy analogy. It makes so much sense.
Yeah, I think so. Because, you know, I mean, honestly, having a job is so much easier. The upside is obviously so much lower. I don't regret not working. I love building my business, but it's just been so hard, right? But I have nobody to turn to say, oh, you convinced me to do this. I own this, which means I own every success and I own every failure on my own. And I do have a tribe of amazing men and women around me who support me, who are part of sort of my mental health structure. I have an executive coach myself who supports me. Like, I have a lot of people around me to support my journey, but I alone own the decision to become an entrepreneur.
Thank you for sharing, Aisha. Jane, I hope that really helps.
Yes, it did. Thank you so much.
All right. Pick, wrap us up.
Yes. Before we go, I have last two questions for you, Aisha. The first one will be, what is that one tip you will give to founders with femtech consumer brand like you, like yours?
One tip.
Yes.
Have a support structure. I mean, you know, have a support structure. I've just said the volatility in emotions is something else. And I think for women, especially if you're juggling, you know, either children or marriage or aging parents or just whatever, you know, managing all of, unless you have a really, you know, amazing financial situation where you have multiple nannies and drivers and all this other stuff, you know, you need a village for your family, a village for yourself. You need, you know, I got a coach this year because I needed, you know, when you're a CEO, you need to be accountable. I needed someone to hold me accountable to targets and to goals because you're holding everybody else accountable, but it's lonely at the top. So you need a support structure. Like, do not interpret that as weakness. It is critical for your success to have people, you know, and I don't mean like an official board of directors unless you want to, but I have a whole network of people around me who, you know, if I have a business challenge, I can call. If I have a personal challenge, I can call. If I just want to whine and complain, I can call them. Or if I just want to go drink a gin and tonic, you know, I can call them. So you need that. You need that because this journey is rough.
I hear you totally. But how big is this support structure do you have? Like 10 people, 5 people? What do they consist of? Like, first you have coach. What else do you have?
So I have a coach. I have my mother. I have my husband. And I would say I have about 5 really good friends who are who kind of feel like co-founders, poor them. You know, I kind of like drag them into Bossy Cosmetics business. Like, they know, I make them feel every high. I make them feel every low with me. You know, they're on the journey just as much as I am, whether they like it or not. I kind of feel like it's the cost of the friendship. So, yeah.
Wow.
That's my tribe.
That is great. And those are not easy to find, those 5 good friends that
no, they're not.
Share all this with.
Yeah.
Right? You're very lucky.
Yeah. I mean, these are deep friendships.
Definitely. And so the last question will be, what's your next step and how can we help you succeed?
Oh, thank you. I mean, my next step is keep growing, keep remaining cohesive. You know, for us, I think about a customer funnel and, you know, get more people at the top of the funnel. And, you know, that's really just about, like I said, not having millions of dollars to run Facebook ads or billboards or whatever. You know, more recognition to the brand is what we need. And so brand evangelists. And so how you can help me is be a brand ambassador, be a brand evangelist. Word of mouth is the cheapest form of marketing. And so we always ask people in our community, tell someone about Bossy Cosmetics. Like, our cheapest product is $5. You know, buy a Bossy Cosmetic product and give it to a friend. You know, just that's how you can help us.
I will definitely do that. And from days on, anybody talk about beauty, I'm going to tell them about Bossy Cosmetics.
Thank you. That's all we need.
And that being said, so please, audience here, you need to check out bossybeauty.com. That's Aisha's website.
Yes.
Also, follow her on Instagram or Twitter. Her Instagram account is Bossy Lipstick and Twitter is Bossy Beauty Inc. Okay.
That's us.
Yep. Ari.
Wonderful. Thank you so much, Pick, Aisha. This has been wonderful. We do have the recap of all of this conversation that Pick will be doing later on. But honestly, this past hour has been enlightening. I love your brand purpose and your own personal purpose as well that really get tied to this brand cohesion you really want to convey to your customers, right? Even though they're coming from multiple different direction, like your D2C website, your Amazon channel, and even everywhere else, you bring them to really, you know, utilizing Bossy and its product to gain confidence for themselves. So I really thank you for all the insights, and you're right. You know, your 1 hour here today with us is so means that you're not doing anything else in your business. So I thank you so much for that. And with that, I would like to close the room. So again, feel free to follow Aisha, myself, or even Pig, so that the next time we host FemTech Roundtable again next week, every Thursday at 10 a.m. Central Time or 8 a.m. PST time. That is us.
Thank you so much, Ari and Pig. I really appreciate this. Thank you, guys.
We appreciate you coming on here too, Aisha.
All right. Take care.
All the best. Take care.
Thanks. Bye.
Bye. And Ari, I think tomorrow you have a clubhouse talk about women entrepreneurship. Yeah. I think Jing, you might be interested.
Join
what time is that?
I believe it's at.
Yeah.
I forgot the time. Probably at 2 p.m. Central Times. But you can DM me and then I can send you the link.
Yeah, Jane, please. DM Ari. I think it will be a good conversation.
Thank you, guys. We'll be closing the room.